This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, and this is episode 675 of the Late Round Fantasy Football Podcast, sponsored by FanDuel. Thanks for tuning in. Every week on this show, I like to recap what happened the previous week. I like to see if my sleeper picks from the week before were good or not. Now, I have no true definition of good. Like, I don't think it's reasonable to expect waiver wire players to post top 10 numbers at their position. That can't be the expectation. But flex-worthy? Somewhere in that top 30 range? If we can find guys off the wire to do that, I think that's a win. And last week, overall, it was a win, especially for week one. Matt Ryan and Jameis Winston were both usable at the quarterback position. Isaiah McKenzie found the end zone. Gerald Everett found the end zone. Jahan Dotson found it twice. I was right to give Rex Burkhead a shout too. And Noah Brown had about 12 PPR points with a strong 22% target share. Now, there were misses. There will always be misses. It wasn't all butterflies and rainbows. I totally got owned by Mike Davis and how the Ravens deployed their running backs. Marquez Valdes-Scantling had just a 10% target share. Josh Palmer couldn't take advantage of a Keenan Allen injury. And I picked the wrong Colts tight end. But again, for week one, I'm pleased with these results. This show's going to have some goose eggs each week. That's going to happen given the types of players that I'm working with. But to have a lot of strong performances in there is a great thing. So let's try to continue things here in week two. Now, before getting into the sleepers this week, Thursday nights officially belong to the NFL again, and FanDuel and Amazon Prime Video have teamed up to bring you more ways to win this NFL season. Introducing the Prime Video Pick'em, a free-to-play pick'em contest centered around one of the most exciting events of the week, Thursday Night Football. Here's how it works. You'll be given 10 questions to answer about Thursday night's game. Fans who answer the most questions correctly will win a share of $15,000 in cash prizes. It's that easy. So be sure to tune in to Amazon Prime Video's Thursday Night Football Week 2 matchup. No purchase necessary. Age and location restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See full terms at FanDuel.com. We'll kick things off as we do each week on the Sleeper Show, and that's with players rostered in 26 to 50% of Yahoo leagues you could consider starting here in Week 2. And we'll start at the quarterback position with a familiar face, Matt Ryan. Ryan could have had an even better day last week if not for some drops. And you have to like his spot in Week 2. He gets a Jags team that just allowed a QB3 performance to Carson Wentz. The Jags last week gave up the 7th highest net yards per attempt rate, and Pro Football Reference had them at the 2nd worst pressure rate. The Colts once again have a high implied team total of 25.5, so I think Ryan makes plenty of sense as a shallow league streamer. And speaking of Carson Wentz, he gets the Lions this week. I think he's in play as well. I think we've got to recognize that the Commanders have some pretty decent weapons. Terry McLaurin's a monster. Jahan Dotson looks like he could be a stud. Curtis Samuel's a nice Swiss Army knife. And the backfield has talented pieces too. That showed up in week one with Wentz scoring almost 28 standard fantasy points. The Lions allowed Jalen Hurts to post the 8th best net yards per attempt rate last week. And entering the season, the Lions ranked 25th in PFF secondary rankings. I think this game against Detroit has a chance to be relatively high scoring too. And we're seeing that reflected with a game total of 49.5 over on FanDuel Sportsbook. So Carson Wentz works. In that same game, you could go to DJ Chark. I was surprised to see Chark under the 50% mark over on Yahoo, even after waivers ran on Tuesday night. He had a really strong showing in week one with a 21.6% target share, and he finished 4th in the NFL in air yards. And he draws a Commanders defense this week that watched both Christian Kirk and Zay Jones do some work last week. Again, I like this game. I've actually got Chark in my top 40 this week at wide receiver. Those are my weekly rankings, which you can find on the Late Round Fantasy Football Patreon. And if you want to, you could even go to Jahan Dotson in that game. He's still not over that 50% rostered mark, even after his 2-touchdown week one. To be fair, he only had a 12% target share in that game, but he operated as a starter for Washington. He was alongside Terry McLaurin. The matchup is good, as I already talked about. He's a top 50 wide receiver for me this week. And then the last wideout from this tier is one who failed me last week. It's Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Production-wise, MVS didn't do a whole lot last week with just a 10% target share. But there is good news. He led the Chiefs in routes run against the Cardinals, and he played the most snaps of any wide receiver on the team. Their game on Thursday night has a very real chance to be a back-and-forth shootout. He's an easy way to get a potential big play out of that game. And then in that game as well is Gerald Everett. I actually think that Everett is a top 10 tight end play this week. At the time of this recording, it's not looking good for Keenan Allen. And Everett came through with a 12% target share last week while running 10 more routes than any other Chargers tight end. He has a chance to have a big day in a high-scoring matchup. And then the last player in this tier, Rex Burkhead. There's been talk already this week that the Texans may use Damian Pierce more than they did in week one, which would be logical. I think they're going to try to do that. But Houston's a really big underdog this week, and Burkhead ran 25 routes to Damian Pierce's 5 last week. So even if they give Pierce more early down work or just more work in general, I would be surprised if he outsnaps Burkhead if this game does hit a negative game script. Burkhead is a better bet in PPR formats. Now, speaking of pass-catching backs, Dontrell Hilliard. How about him? The dude saw 4 targets and caught 3 of them for 61 yards and 2 touchdowns in week 1. That made him a top 10 PPR back. He had about a 13% target share. He actually had more targets than rush attempts. Why? Because that's how he's deployed with a healthy Derrick Henry. Now, Henry actually did run more routes than Hilliard in week 1. But that game was mostly neutral in script. This week, they get the best team in football, and they're 9.5-point underdogs, according to FanDuel Sportsbook. If that game gets out of hand, I'd expect Hilliard to potentially get some cheap PPR production in hurry-up mode. I think Kenyon Drake is another potential play in this tier, which, by the way, this tier's players rostered in 11-25% of Yahoo leagues. J.K. Dobbins is evidently healthy now. I get it. But he's likely not going to see his typical workload. In week 1, after joining the team just a week prior, Kenyon Drake, yes, he only scored 5.6 PPR points, but he saw 73% of the team's running back rushes. I don't think we can assume that the Ravens run the ball as poorly as they did in week 1 every week. And even in a committee this week, I would expect Drake to lead that committee with Dobbins just getting some work and to get acclimated and ramped up. Now, I talked about Josh Palmer on the 15 Transaction Show this week, and he finds himself within this tier. With Keenan Allen likely out, Palmer's going to see an uptick in playing time. He saw similar target share as the other wideouts there this past week, but he played twice as many snaps as DeAndre Carter. In that high-scoring contest against the Chiefs, Palmer makes sense as a wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 4 this week. And then finally, I'm going to go to Hayden Hurst. There's definitely some fear that the Bengals won't need to throw the ball a ton this week because Dak Prescott's out for the Cowboys. But T. Higgins is dealing with a concussion. Hurst saw 15% of Cincinnati's targets in week 1, and that could maintain if Higgins is sidelined. If Higgins does play, then Hayden Hurst would drop a little bit. But if Higgins is out, I think that Hurst is a high-end tight end too. He's in that tight end 15 range. My favorite tier each week on the show is this one where I talk about players rostered in 10% or fewer of Yahoo leagues. Zach Moss looked pretty good in week 1. And he surprisingly saw a 19.4% target share to go along with a 40% running back rush share. Buffalo has the highest implied team total on this week's slate. And as I mentioned earlier, they're big favorites against the Titans. If that game goes in the direction that we think it's going to go, Moss could close things out. Or at least get a lot of work during the second half. And he may just be involved in a rotation with Devin Singletary anyway. So I think Zach Moss is a very interesting deeper sleeper. Next is someone who I talked about on the 50 Transaction Show, and that's Donovan Peoples-Jones. He had almost a 37% target share in week 1, and the Browns get the Jets this week. Lamar Jackson threw it 15 or more air yards at the 5th highest rate in the league last week against the Jets. And all 3 of his touchdown passes came on those types of throws. New York was the only team to allow 3 deep ball touchdowns in week 1. Peoples-Jones can be a vertical threat. But even if he doesn't catch one behind the defense, he can still have a nice day if he even comes close to the target share that he saw last week. Now, as I'm recording this, I don't know for sure if Rondell Moore is going to play this week, but Greg Dortch had a really solid week 1. Dortch actually looked good in my prospect model, relatively speaking. He had great college production. In week 1, he saw 25% target share while playing 82% of his snaps from the slot. For what it's worth, his week 2 opponent, the Raiders, they allowed the 2nd most yards from that area of the field in week 1 according to Pro Football Focus data. I really don't think he's a bad dart throw if Rondell Moore is out once again. He literally just played Rondell Moore's role in week 1. Now I've got 2 more players for you, and they're coming from the same team. They're coming from the Indianapolis Colts. First, Paris Campbell. He ran the second most routes at wide receiver for the Colts in week one, and Alec Pierce is now in concussion protocol. Campbell only had an 8% target share last week, but that could very easily rise in this game against Jacksonville as the clear number two option in the passing game. But don't sleep on Kylan Granson as a tight end sleeper. It turns out Granson was the tight end to roster from this team, not Mo Alie-Cox. Or at least it's looking that way right now. Granson had 7 targets for a 14% target share in week one, and he ran 29 routes while Mo Alie-Cox ran 20. It's definitely a tight end by committee there to some degree, but week one was an encouraging one for the second year Granson. I think he's a very interesting deep streamer. That's going to do it for today's show, though. Thanks to all of you for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Fantasy Football Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. If you want my weekly rankings, rest of season rankings, access to an awesome Discord community, go to lateround.com and check it all out. Otherwise, thanks for listening. I will catch you tomorrow.